This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been hearing about the rapid increase in COVID-19 cases both locally and statewide in recent days, and that's having an impact on Mercy Medical Center. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Jason Gray on with us. Dr. Gray, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hi, Kyle. My pleasure.
So talk about the two big changes at Mercy due to this increase in COVID-19 positive cases.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. You know, COVID is widespread in the community. Over the last 4 weeks, the number of cases has increased, both cases and hospitalizations, nearly fivefold. So as a result of that, we've had to make a couple changes here at Mercy. The first one is restricting visitor access. Now, it's not a decision we make lightly, but in order to allow the staff to focus on providing care to the large number of patients, effective today, we are limiting visitor access. Exceptions are being made for pediatric patients, for compassionate care, end-of-life situations, for one assist person for a family birthplace delivery, and then any patient who has a disability, a cognitive or physical disability, or who requires assistance. Exceptions are made in those situations. We're encouraging and working with patients and families to use technology, iPads, etc., so they can remain in communication with their loved ones.
And
second, go ahead, Kyle.
Well, and that is probably a big change over a few years ago. If there was a situation when you couldn't connect with a friend or family member that was in the hospital, now with the technology, it's a lot easier to do that.
Absolutely. Big changes in positive ways. You know, that family support is really important for the healing process, so we want to continue to enable that.
So talk about the second change.
Second big change, in order to continue to provide capacity and increase our number of beds, we have made the decision to temporarily halt all non-urgent and non-emergent procedures and surgeries. The Oregon Surgery Center, the Ambulatory Surgery Center, is being converted into an additional 30-bed medical unit. That will allow us an increased number of beds to take care of non-COVID patients there and ensure that we can take care of the COVID patients and also the traumas, the emergency heart attacks, the emergency orthopedic injuries, the appendectomies that we also need to do.
So when you talk about these surgeries that are being halted, sometimes the surgery may not be urgent, meaning it needs to be done that day, but it does impact the person's situation, and sometimes their near-term future and their long-term future. Does that end up meaning that people need maybe some types of surgery are going to have their health impacted while they have to wait?
Well, we're going to focus in on the emergent surgeries first, but you point out as a good point, there are surgeries like a gallbladder or a cancer surgery that may not need to be done today, but does need to be done in a timely manner. Those will still proceed. If there's any question about the medical appropriateness, we have a group of physicians who will review the cases and help make that decision of, yes, it needs to be done now, or it can wait a day or two or a week or 3 weeks later. We want to ensure that the care patients need, especially urgent care, is still able to be delivered.
So as you go through this tough time, then probably a lot of prioritization, looking at not just individual patients, but sort of essentially who's on the list that needs a surgery at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a balancing act right now of trying to triage and prioritize the urgencies and balance that with the capacity to serve our community and the number of increasing number of COVID patients that we have.
So as you've walked around the hospital in the past couple of days, kind of paint the scene that you're seeing. How intense is this situation getting?
You know, it's getting very intense. And I want to really emphasize to the community just how significant and how severe COVID is in our community. As I mentioned, it's widespread. Our numbers have increased fivefold. We are at record numbers of COVID patients here at Mercy. We're taking care of 51, 54, 55 patients a day, nearly half of our total hospital capacity. It's amazing to see the response of the staff, how they band together to take care of patients, loved ones in the community. Yet at the same time, we've been on this COVID pandemic now for 15, 16 months. It wears both emotionally and physically on the staff. It's been a marathon, and now we have a sprint here at the end, and the staff are working well, but they are tired. They're fatigued and physically tired. One of our biggest concerns is staffing. We may have plenty of rooms or ventilators, but if I don't have healthy, trained staff, that can impact our operations. At this point, we do have quite a large number of staff who are out, just like many in the community, on it. So they are in quarantine until they're healthy enough to come back, and that is an issue we're working around.
Now, I know yesterday I was looking over some of the state data from the Oregon Health Authority, and I'm curious about locally, just how close to capacity is Mercy right now?
So overall, we are running anywhere between 93 and 100% of capacity. When you look at our intensive care unit or our progressive care units for sicker patients, those are nearly at capacity the entire time. When one patient moves out, another one fills in. We have expanded our intensive care unit from 16 to 20 beds. We have expanded the progressive care unit to try and deliver care.
So what does that leave in terms of options for patients in terms of elsewhere to go? There's not a lot of options there.
Statewide, the situation is the same across the country and across the state on it. What we're really trying to focus in on and spread the message is, if you have a condition that can be seen in your primary care office or the urgent care, that would be the best place to start. Reserve the hospital for those urgent, emergent, life-threatening conditions so we can take care of those patients who have severe COVID or have the heart attack or have the trauma right now.
And obviously, one of the things that hospitals struggle with sometimes is that some folks wait until a situation's kind of dire and go sprinting into the emergency room because it's a you know, time of day or the weekend or whatever where other offices aren't open. And it sounds like you really need people to sort of plan ahead and see what care they need to get before it gets to be a crisis.
Yeah, we never want it to be a crisis for a patient. If it does become a crisis or an urgency, that's why the hospital is here. We're working with community partners across the region to really try and increase capacity outside of the hospital in the urgent cares. There's a number of them there, also in the primary care offices. This is a community concerted effort that you know, very pleased with the results. We look at whether it be Umpqua Health, whether it be Aviva, whether it be South River on that, whether it be Evergreen Family Medicine. All of these groups and others have stepped up and said, we can help with this.
Now, are you hearing about similar conditions elsewhere around the state and region? I mean, I think I even saw something yesterday further south in the state about people being treated in the hallway.
Yeah, south of us in Jackson and Josephine counties, they are really in crisis. The numbers that they have are just astronomical on that. And patients are being treated wherever they have space to treat them. We are not there yet, although if you look at some of the public health numbers and you look at some of the Oregon Health Authority numbers, projections, the projections are not encouraging. We need to take immediate steps to try and head that off here.
And we've seen the numbers in the hospital go up quite a bit in the past week. And really, over the time I was out of state for, you know, 8 or 9 days, a big number increasing there. Is this like a situation that's ever been faced at Mercy before?
About 10 years ago when we had the H1N1, we had a large number of patients who needed care. But this is different. Given the large numbers, it's spread across the state, and the number of staff that are impacted.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Dr. Jason Gravy, Chief Medical Officer, Mercy Medical Center, live from Mercy. The interview and podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. tomorrow, we'll go in depth and talk about the new sobering center that is in operation in Roseburg. Jerry O'Sullivan from ADAPT will join us to talk about that. Dr. Jason Gray here now, Chief Medical Officer from Mercy Medical Center, talking about the situation they're facing with the increasing number of cases of COVID-19. Jason, you touched on this at the front end of things, but talk more about how this situation is impacting the staff, maybe their own self-care and their attitude in dealing with this.
Yeah, it's a very challenging time for the staff. The staff here are very dedicated to taking care of patients, their neighbors, their loved ones in the community. You know, it's emotionally challenging on it. At the same time, due to staff shortages, pre-existing nursing crisis, due to other staff illnesses, they may be working extra shifts on that. As I mentioned, we're working with community partners, including the Cal Creek, to try and find additional staff or additional testing resources on it. Mercy, we are now trying to do the little things that we can do to support the staff. Obviously, the important parts, making sure they have the proper PPE, the protective equipment on it, add additional staff when we can, the little thank yous to them. You know, as part of this, we are working with the governor's office and the Oregon Health Authority, and the National Guard will be deployed here starting Friday. They will be in a supportive non-clinical role to our staff. So they will be helping to assist, take off some of those accessory work so that the staff can focus on patients. Things like serving as screeners, logistics, linens, supplies, helping hands to help turn patients or walk patients. That will be the role of the National Guard on it, augmenting our clinicians here.
Now, have you had a situation where the National Guard has helped in this way at Mercy before?
We have not. This is a first time statewide for many places.
And so obviously that explains, that shows just what the level of seriousness is when you're pulling in the National Guard in that role. Now, if the number of COVID positive cases continues to ramp up, what kind of options does Mercy have?
Well, if cases and as cases continue to ramp up, we will continue to decrease elective procedures, elective operations, outpatient clinics to redeploy staff to the inpatient unit to take care of patients. We are in conversations daily with Eugene hospitals, with the state hospitals, looking at load balancing patients between hospitals when possible. Unfortunately, right now, statewide, that's very difficult. But we look at where is the level of acuity, can we transfer patients to and from to make sure that the care is delivered. At times, we even have to look outside of the state for transfers on that. It's very inconvenient for patients, for their families, for care, but that is a last option that we are actually having to pursue. As the sole hospital in Mercy, we do not divert patients. We're the place of care. We will take care of them, we'll assess them and evaluate them in the emergency department, and then try our best to provide the treatment or transfer if needed and if available.
And when you have all these different hospitals in the region, you're all part of different health organizations. A lot of times there's communication back and forth there. I would imagine during this time, the amount of communication between facilities in the region is probably ramped up quite a bit.
It's multiple times each day.
And what kind of input are you hearing from some of the other folks you talk with around the region?
You know, what we're hearing and seeing is down in southern Oregon, beyond us, it is in a crisis situation. We look up north, some areas are a little less severe than they are here. Eastern Oregon, northeastern Oregon, central Oregon, they are also in near crisis situations on it. It really depends upon the area. It's an interesting point. When we look at the counties and look at the cases, we do see a clear association with the percentage of vaccination in the county versus those that aren't. We're seeing increased numbers of hospitalizations in counties that have lesser degree of vaccination.
And yesterday, when the state numbers came out, and yesterday was the day the county wasn't officially reporting numbers, I did a double take because initially the state said 300 cases. As the county looked at it, because they have a different time frame parameter in the day where the data comes from, it was about 261 cases yesterday. But that is still an off-the-charts, all-time record that you don't want to see.
That is a staggering record, which has a grim prognostic ability for us on it. When you look at cases, as Dr. Danhofer has explained, we see about 8% of those eventually lead to a hospital admission a week to 10 days later. So out of 261, you can do the math and see that would predict that we might have 20, 23 cases admitted here in a week and a half later. It is not a direction that we want to see, and it's a direction that we're very worried about for the health and safety of our community.
Now, the new numbers just out from the county in the past few minutes, 161 positive test results, 6 new presumptives, but now 59 people hospitalized, 53 locally, 6 outside the area, so the staggering numbers continue.
Yes, they are. That is a direction we do not wish to head.
And talk about a little bit more about the correlation on the number of folks admitted that are vaccinated versus the number that have not yet been vaccinated. Of course, that varies around the state, but with a lower level of vaccination here in the county, what kind of percentages are you looking at Mercy?
When we look at all of our patients, and it changes day by day, what we're seeing is about 90% of the patients who are admitted are not vaccinated. Today, 91.6% are unvaccinated and 8.4% are vaccinated. So a clear association with vaccination prevents hospitalization.
And my understanding is that generally, though each case varies a bit, generally the breakthrough cases, folks, even if they are hospitalized, their symptoms are generally not as severe for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part, you are correct. What we're seeing, even though with the Delta variant, we are seeing a few more breakthrough cases, by and large, those patients do not need to be admitted, and they have a lesser severity of illness.
So then when you look at the numbers, and if you looked at a higher, maybe much higher percentage of folks vaccinated, the number of folks that you would have admitted locally right now for COVID would be substantially lower.
It likely would.
And talk about that just in terms of maybe comments you get about people from people who are not yet sure about getting vaccinated. What kind of message would you send out?
You know, the message I'd say here is if you look at the studies, they've clearly shown that the COVID vaccines are safe and they're very effective at decreasing hospitalization and preventing severe disease. We understand that vaccination is a very personal decision, but it's a decision that may save your life or may save the lives of those around you. And I would strongly encourage people to discuss the concerns they might have with their health, with a trusted healthcare provider. Go to the CDC website or the Oregon Health Authority website to gain information to help them make that decision for them. It's a decision that not only protects them, but may also protect their neighbor or their significant other.
Just over a minute left on Inside Douglas County. What about ways the community can help show support for the healthcare workers that are putting in these long hours, long shifts, dealing with this ramp up of COVID positive cases?
You know, we live in a great community that's always been very appreciative of different professions. Right now, what I would say is, you know, a little bit of grace for the healthcare providers. They're a little tired, a little physically exhausted. Words of encouragement, words of thanks. People are calling in, delivering donuts or coffee. Those type of things really are appreciated. Just the heartfelt thanks for what they're doing and the recognition of what they're doing. And it's not just the doctors, the nurses. It's the technicians. It's the linen. It's the supply chain. It's the food services, the housekeepers, all the way down even to our greeters and screeners. Everyone here is playing an important role in helping deliver care.
And again, remind folks before we go about the changes, about the visitor restrictions and the surgeries.
So really quickly, visitor access has been restricted. At this point, we are only allowing visitors for pediatric patients, for end-of-life compassionate care situations, and for patients with disabilities. Surgeries have been limited to urgent and emergent surgeries only to provide additional bed capacity.
All right, Dr. Jason Gray, Chief Medical Officer for Mercy Medical Center. Dr. Gray, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.